Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Let's pray and ask God's help again. Father, we thank You that You instruct us in how to live in this life right now. And God, we thank You for all the wisdom that we are learning and encountering in the book of Proverbs. Father, we pray that You would write this wisdom upon our hearts and minds, that we would truly be changed by Your wisdom. God, that we would live differently this afternoon and tonight and tomorrow and this week because we've heard from You. And so, Lord, we ask You to come by Your Spirit. Come and let us hear from You. And we pray we would be changed. We would be a people who obey this word from You. We wouldn't just hear and agree and say, yes, this is good. But Lord, we would be doers of the word. And so God, help us now. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. The last time I preached 2 weeks ago, I preached on humility. And we looked at humility together, and I defined it as forgetting about yourself, totally forgetting about yourself and focusing on the triune God and others. And then last week, our brother JC preached an excellent sermon to us on prayer, that God has opened up the way for us to go into the Holy of Holies and pray to our God because of Jesus' work. And prayer is an evidence of humility. We pray because we know we need God. We pray because we know we can't do it on our own. Humble people pray. And so prayer is an evidence of humility. And we see another evidence of humility in this proverb today. Humble people will seek help. Humble people seek advice. Humble people seek counsel from others. We need help. We need help. We need guidance. We need a lot of help. An abundance of counselors. And I wonder this morning, do you do this? Do you do this in your life? Do you seek out a multitude of counselors when you make decisions in your life? Well, let's look at this text together. The point number one, without guidance, there is danger. Without guidance, there is danger. Look at verse 14 again. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. We need guidance. You need guidance. What is guidance? What is guidance? Being led in the right direction. Guidance is being directed to follow God's way. Guidance is getting help in life in order to make decisions that are wise and that please God. Guidance is leadership that leads us to Christ. And that's what we want as Christians. We want to make wise decisions. We want to make wise decisions with our lives and what we do and how we spend our time and how we spend our money and how we have relationships with one another. Where we go, what jobs we have, what colleges we go to, who we date, who we marry, how we raise our children, how we do business as a church, how we have church. We need guidance. Do you realize that you need guidance? Humble people realize that they need guidance. Fathers, you need guidance to know how to properly love your children and care for them and discipline them. Mothers, you need guidance how to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Husbands, you need guidance in how to love your wives as Christ loves the church. And wives, you need guidance in how to love and submit and respect to your husbands. As the Scripture says, the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Yes, they need to be taught. Children, you children here, you need guidance. There's a lot of things you don't know, a lot of wisdom you don't have, and God has graciously given you parents to guide you to Christ, to guide you to live a wise and biblical life. Christian, you need guidance. You need guidance. You need people to help you learn about Christ, understand the Bible, to grow in Christ. And it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 50 years or 3 years. You need guidance. We all need guidance. Students, single person, workers, retired, pastors. In all decisions, we need guidance. As individuals, we need guidance. As families, we need guidance. As a church, we need guidance. Sometimes when I'm studying for the sermon at Westminster, I daydream about how awesome it would be if I had every book in this library, this vast theological library, if I had every book memorized word for word. Oh, what a pastor I would be then. And if I had the Bible memorized word for word, if I just had all this knowledge, oh, what it would be like to know all of that. Did you know that if you had all that book knowledge, if you had all the knowledge and wisdom of all 7 billion people in the world, did you know you would still need guidance? Did you know that? If you had every book in every library all over the world memorized word for word, you could go to page and paragraph and tell me what it says, and you had all the wisdom and knowledge and experience of all 7 billion people now and all the people who'd lived before you, except one, you would still need guidance. You would still need guidance. We do know somebody who doesn't need any guidance. We do know one who does not need any guidance. We know that our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, knows all things. He gave all the brains that wrote all those books. He knows everything from the least to the greatest. He knows it all. He has all wisdom, all knowledge. He needs no guidance, no counselor. That is our God. That is our God. And we see Paul break out by inspiration of the Spirit in Romans 11, 33-36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has been His counselor? No one. No one. Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's God. That's not you. You and I need guidance. It doesn't matter how long we've been doing what we do, how smart we think we are, how much we know and have read and think we know. We need guidance. And unless you get that, the rest of the sermon's pointless. God, humble us and show us. No matter how much we think we know, we don't know what God knows. And we need Your guidance. This text says, without guidance we fall. Without guidance a people falls. Look at the text. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. Without guidance, there's danger. Without guidance, there is danger for you. As individuals, there's danger for you. As families, there's danger for you. As a church, without guidance, there is danger. You will fall. You will be hurt. You will ultimately be destroyed without guidance. I want you to fear. I want you to fear doing things on your own without seeking a multitude of counselors. I want you to fear that today. And I'm not talking about choosing the color of your next sweater. So when we're talking about decision making, you don't have to call me this week and say, Pastor, I'm at the store and I'm thinking about a blue sweater and a red sweater and I'm just not sure what to do. I'm not talking about that kind of decision. I'm talking about decisions that deal with big life issues. Decisions about relationships, how you relate with one another, how you love one another, how you die to self and love each other, husband relationship, wife relationship, marriage relationships, who you should date, who you should have a close relationship with. I'm talking about job issues, you know, should I take this job, should I take that job, young people, school issues, when I have conflicts with people, how do I deal with them? I'm talking about issues, how do I follow Christ faithfully? We're talking about bigger life issues, not the color of the sweater. So just so everybody's clear on that. But I want you to fear making decisions without seeking a multitude of counselors. I want you to fear that. And you say, well, Pastor, the Bible says fear only God. But you see, the reason we want to fear making decisions without a multitude of counselors is because we fear God. We want to please God with the decisions that we make and the way that we live our lives. And this text says there's danger. There's danger by just doing what's right in your own eyes. We will fall. We will fall. And God doesn't want you to fall. God gives you this proverb. He gives you the book of Proverbs. He gives you the Bible because He does not want you to fall. He wants you to walk with Him faithfully in truth. And so what does the text say? Point number two, to be safe. So we don't want to fall. We don't want to fall into danger or destruction. Ultimately, we don't want to fall into hell forever. We want to be safe. And so what does the text say? To be safe, we need a lot of guidance from a lot of God-fearing people. We need a lot of guidance from a lot of God-fearing people. Look at the text again. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. An abundance of counselors keep you safe. And this word for safe means salvation. It means deliverance. It means victory. Many understand this proverb to come in the context of warfare. And the generals getting counsel on how to wage war and win the victory. And friend, life is war, right? We're to take up the whole armor of God. We're to fight the good fight of faith. And to be safe, we need wisdom and counsel from a multitude of counselors. Not just one, right? You have the one that you go to all the time because they always tell you what you want to hear. No, I'm not talking about that. A multitude of counselors, people who you know may disagree with you, but they're wise and they're going to tell you what you don't want to hear because they love you. We need friends like that. Friends who always just flatter you and say, oh yes, you're great, you're wonderful, you're the best. We need people who love us enough to get in our face when we're going the wrong way and say, I love you. This is wrong. Return to truth. So abundance of counselors. In abundance of counselors, there's safety. Waltke comments, Proverbs never speak of a single counselor, but of an abundance of counselors who assemble to form a council to arrive at a plan. You know, a modern proverb that we have, two heads are better than one. Two heads are better than one. We get advice from multiple people and it's helpful. It's why presidents have a cabinet. They have advisors. CEOs of companies, they have boards of people that think about things, think tanks that many people come together and study the issue and come up with a plan. A multitude of different people bring different knowledge and wisdom. Have you ever believed a certain way? This happens to me. I'm thinking, studying something theologically, and I read one, and he sounds really good. Wow, that sounds convincing. Until I read the other guy. And then, wow, that sounds good too. And there's this wrestling because I've got these two counselors, and they don't exactly agree, but they're making arguments from the Bible, and I have to wrestle with them and seek others and pray. And what is the truth here? A multitude of different people bring different knowledge and wisdom and more knowledge and wisdom to you to make wise and healthy and godly decisions. So we need a multitude. I wonder how many you have in your life. I wonder how many counselors that you have in your life that you can go to for counsel. 2, 3, 4, 5? This text says a multitude. Friend, if you don't have them, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that God would give you a multitude of counselors who will love you and tell you the truth. And what kind of counselors are we looking for? An abundance of godly counselors keep you safe. Godly counselors. This text calls us to safety, and it says a multitude of counselors will keep us safe. Implicit in that is that these counselors are those who are following the wisdom of Proverbs, who fear God, who know Him, who know the Scriptures. You don't want just to amass any kind of counselors, just any people. Okay, I got 10. That's good. No, people who fear God. People who know the Word of God, who can counsel you from the Word. Godly people. People who have a long track record of faithfully following Jesus. And young people, often this means older people. It means older people. It means people who've been doing what you need advice for a lot longer than you have. Children, this is why it's so important for you to listen to mommy and daddy. They've been around a lot longer than you. They know the Word of God a lot better than you. And so you need to listen to them. You need to hear their guidance and follow what they say. Teenagers, you need to listen to people that are older than you. I know that you think that you know it all, but you don't. You need to listen. You need to find a godly man, a godly woman that you can connect yourself to help you grow in Christ. Newlyweds, you need to find a married couple in the church who've been faithfully following Jesus for decades. And listen to them. Sit down with them. Ask them to take you under their wing and meet with you regularly. Maybe read through a book on marriage with them. You need to do that. Young parents, find those who've raised godly offspring. Talk to them. What did you do? How can I raise my children to be like your children? We pastors, we need to look to the older pastors, those who've been doing this for 20, 30, 50 years, and learn from them. Get counsel. Get counsel. The most helpful advice that I've ever gotten on guidance and decision making was from a devotional by a pastor, and he gave 4 steps to making decisions and seeking guidance. Number 1, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Psalm 119:24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Know the Bible. Know the Bible. Read the Bible. If you have not read through the whole Bible in your life yet, I challenge you in the next year, read the whole Bible. Yes, even Leviticus. Read it all. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching and reproof and rebuke and walking in godliness to be equipped. All of it. Every jot and tittle, Jesus said. Not one jot or tittle will be cast away until all is fulfilled. Love the Word. Love all of it. And if you don't, and you think parts are boring, beg God to open your eyes. Beg God to open your eyes that He would show you the glory of God's Word. Know the Scripture. If you want to make sound and wise decisions, know God's Word. That is our counsel. That is our counselor, the Word of God. Number 2, pray. Pray. Go before the Lord and seek His face. John 14, 16, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper," which is translated comforter, advocate, or counselor, to be with you forever. And so we seek the truth in the Word of God about the decision that we're making, and that's very important because a lot of people blame the Holy Spirit for a lot of things the Holy Spirit don't want none of. A lot of people do what they want and blame it on the Holy Spirit because they ate too much pizza last night. Okay, we don't want to do that. And so if you tell me the Holy Spirit told you, it better accord with the Word of Almighty God. Because if it does not, it's not from the Holy Spirit. And so that's why that first one's so important. Ground it in the Word. Know the Word. Go for counsel from people who bleed Bible. And then pray. And then pray. And seek the Spirit's guidance, which will always be in accord with the Word. Will always magnify what the Word says. Pray. Seek God's face. He leads us. He leads us. I believe He leads us. Sometimes I believe Christians live like evangelical deists. God has sort of put everything in place and given us His Bible, but then He's just left. No, God guides us. He leads us. He helps us. He instructs us. He will amplify God's Word to us and lead us. Pray. Seek God's face. Ask Him for help. And then thirdly, so you've sought the Word of God, you've prayed about it, you've wrestled with God in prayer. And then three, you get godly advice or counsel from multitude of godly counselors. You go to other people. And friend, it's an arrogant thing to say, "I have the Bible and I have the Holy Spirit and I don't need anybody else." That is not spiritual. It sounds spiritual. As your pastor who loves you, I'm telling you, it's arrogant. It's arrogant. I was in a meeting one time and a brother asked Pastor John, "What if I told you I'm going to just not read any more books except the Bible?" And he didn't even think. He said, "I'd say that's arrogant." Why is that arrogant? Why is it arrogant? Because the Holy Spirit just didn't come on the scene when you were born. The Holy Spirit has been on the scene for all eternity, and He's filled men and women of God with Him, and they've written things to help us understand the book and help us know God. You can learn from other Spirit-filled people. And so with guidance, you pray, you seek the Word of God, and then you go seek guidance, seek counsel from other people filled with the Spirit, people who are born again, who know the Word of God, who are prayers, and who can help you think about these decisions that you've got to make. Seek guidance. This is what the proverb says to do. And not only seek it, but actually listen and obey it. You know, we can go and ask for help, but we already know what we're going to do, right? But Pastor said I got to seek a multitude of counselors, so I'm going to... He'll agree with me, and she'll agree with me, and I won't get any pushback here. I'm going to ask them, and then I'll have done the proverb, but I know what I'm going to do before I ask. No, that's not humble. No. Humility goes and actually listens and actually hears and heeds. Actually heeds what those godly people say. And friend, I've seen it. I've seen people who get told what to do by their pastor elders. And they don't do it. They don't listen. And then heartbreak. Just destruction in their life. Listen to godly counsel. Search the Scripture. Pray. Seek godly counsel. And after you've done those three, do what you delight to do. If your heart and mind and soul and life is governed by God's Word and governed by an intimate relationship with God, and you pray and seek His face and governed by people around you who love you, who know the Bible and are wise, godly counselors, and you get all that wisdom and take it in, what do you delight to do? God works through the desires of your heart. But those desires need to be governed by those first three. And so let's be a people as a church who make godly and wise decisions in life, who seek a multitude of counselors, starting with God's Word and prayer and seeking the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the best three counselors you'll ever have, and then seeking other men and women of God who are filled with the Spirit of God for godly and wise counsel. And then let's do what God has made us to do and delight to do. How does this proverb apply to discipleship and counseling in our church? How does this proverb apply to discipling and counseling in our church? I have several ways. Number one, preaching. This is counseling. This is counseling, and it's not because whoever's up here is such a wise counselor, but more so because he ought to be preaching the Word of God. And so we have about an hour a week where we just put our hand on our mouth and just listen. And that's a beautiful thing that preaching illustrates. You know, we want to talk and say and do this and that, but in preaching, you sit for half an hour and don't say a word and just listen. You see? And when I prepare to preach, I don't just come up here and tell you what I think that the text means. I have actually spent the week going to a multitude of godly, wise, Spirit-filled counselors to study this text and pray and seek God on what should be said. So I read Bible commentaries. I look to see what men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. See, to me, seeking a godly Bible commentary is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit has filled Bruce Waltke to write down and exegete the Word of God faithfully, the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, and I'm studying that and can better teach the Word of God. And so I consult men of God filled with the Spirit, trusted teachers. I listen to sermons of pastors on passages and hear what God has said through them. And then come to you with what God has shown me through them and others and preach the Word of God to you. Friend, if I would encourage you not to go to a church where a pastor doesn't do that. When I preach to you, I am seeking a multitude of counselors before I stand in this pulpit. And this is counseling. Number two, you should be discipling and counseling each other. You, members of Olney Baptist Church, ought to be discipling and counseling each other. And I wonder, do you intentionally seek to do that? Do you come here on Sunday and go home and come back the next Sunday and in that 7-day period have no interaction with any other member at this church? Friend, that is unhealthy. That is unhealthy. And I would ask you to pray that that changes. For those of you who are here, that's the way that you live life. You come here and you have only interaction with us on Sunday, and you go and you come back next Sunday. No interaction with any other Christian of this church. Friend, that's a sign of sickness. And we want that to grow. Not the sickness, but the health. We want health to grow. We want to see God build a deep network of relationships among us where we spend time with one another and pray with one another and talk to one another about the Word of God and share our burdens with one another and cry with one another and pray with one another and confess sin to one another. We want a deep network of relationships to build, because that's the environment in which this kind of counseling happens. You have a multitude of people in this church that you know, and they know you, and you're not afraid to share embarrassing things about your life with them. You're not afraid to confess sin to them. You're not afraid to confess your struggles to them, because you know they love you and they care about you and they want to help you walk with Jesus. Pray if you don't have that. Pray that God would grant that to you here, and seek to be that. Seek to be that kind of counselor to others and discipler to others. I received a text message from one of the members of the church this week. Text message: abide in Christ's love today! Exclamation point. He is with you and will give you the strength and courage to say and do all that is needed. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Member of the church texted me that this week. We want to encourage one another. Text one another. Call one another. How you doing? When you don't see somebody here, call them up and see how they're doing. We want to visit Rich in the hospital. We want to make a meal for Marilyn who had knee surgery and needs a meal. We want to be aware of these things and do these things and serve one another and disciple one another. Not only should you be discipling and counseling each other, you should be discipled and counseled by each other. Do you realize, again, that you need help, you need guidance, you need to be discipled? And if you don't have that, I want to help you find that. If you know that I would like to meet with another lady, usually it's ladies and ladies and guys and guys, and I would like to meet with this person and read through a book. I can recommend a good book that you read together. You could read a book of the Bible together. You could discuss the sermon together. If you need something like that, I want to help connect you with someone who can help you do that. We have a women's Bible study that meets on Tuesday nights at 7. We have a men's group that meets on Tuesday nights at 7. We have a young men's group that meets on Saturdays. All ways that discipleship can take place. But you can also do it one-on-one with other people. James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and open to reason." Open to reason. What does that mean? It means being willing to listen and do what others say when they give you counsel. We want to be a people that do that, that live that way. The Nine Marks Ministries published a little article, "How Does Discipleship Work?" And he gave 11 reasons. Number one, join a church. Join a church. That's the first step into being properly discipled, is to come under the care and shepherding of a group of leaders who God has called to guard and shepherd the church. Join a church if you haven't. If you can't join this church for this and that or other reason, I can help you find other good churches in the area that will shepherd you and love you well. Number two, arrive early at church gatherings and stay late. Arrive early and stay late. When I was an intern at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, all the interns had to be at every church function 15 minutes early. If the Bible study started at 7, I had to be there at 6:45. And if we weren't, Mark Dever would call us on it. 15 minutes early. Why? To get to know people, to talk to people, to build relationships with people, and stay late. Stay late as long as you want. We want to talk to people, get to know people. We also had to sit at different places. So there's like 8 interns, and at every service, we had to pick a different place to sit. So we always didn't sit in the same place. Why? So we could get to know new people. And it was harder there because there was 1,000 people. But the point was get to know people. Get to know people. Practice hospitality with members of the church. You know, we have lunch every Sunday after church at the house, at the parsonage. But my hope and dream is that others would begin to do that. That others would begin to have people into their home. Find just one person. You don't have to have the whole church over. But just find one person or two people and say, "Hey, you know, would you like to come over and let me get to know you?" Michael Osborne, our new deacon, he's doing this. He's in. Some of you have been to his house recently, even this week. He's inviting you over. Because he loves you. He wants to get to know you. And his wife Becky and their family, they love you. They're practicing hospitality to get to know you. To help shepherd your heart and help you follow Jesus. Practice hospitality with one another. Ask God for these kinds of friendships. Ask God. Plead with God in prayer. "Lord, I don't have this. I don't have this, Lord. I don't have a friend that I can bear everything to and bear my soul to and not worry about being judged." Ask God for that. And ask God that He would make you that kind of person for someone else. Intentionally schedule time in your family and your budget time and family time to spend with other Christians. Some of you might say, I don't have enough time to do this. Well, just invite people into what you already do. You're going to eat 21 meals a week. Just invite Christians over for one of those meals. Every Thursday night is going to be the Christian time, and every Tuesday evening meal, that's going to be the evangelism time. I'm going to invite non-believers over. You already eat. Just invite people into what you already do. Jerry Evans does this well with neighbors. He has family devotions with his children where he's counseling them on how to follow Christ. And now his neighbors come who are unbelievers. They need to come. And he shepherds them. Just invite people into what you already do. Regularly schedule breakfast and lunch times or meetings with other people to intentionally do them spiritual good. Find a book, a good book. Ask me for a good book, or ask one of the leaders for what would be a good book to read on such and such topic, and meet with someone to read and help one another follow Jesus. That was another requirement of my internship. We had to schedule lunch meetings with elders of the church, members who'd been there less than 5 years, members who'd been there more than 5 years, people who were there when Pastor Mark first came. All these people we had to schedule lunches with and get to know people. And you say, Pastor, I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert, Pastor. That's just not me. Friend, Jesus will change you. Don't use these kind of modern psychological INTJ categories to put yourself in and then not do things, because this is just who I am. Jesus came to change who I am. He came to make me more of an outward person. I'm still an introvert. I get tired by meeting with people, talking with people. It drains me. But He changes us to want to be around people, to want to love people, to spend time with people. So don't put yourself in these little psychology, I'm like this and I'm like that. No, God will change you. Share about yourself with others. Pray with others. Get together and pray with one another. When you meet with someone, before you leave, pray with them. Ask people to pray with you. Consider others' material and financial needs and ask if you can help them. As I said, invite people into your home. Friend, these are ways that we can cultivate a culture in our church of this proverb, that there's wisdom and safety in a multitude of counselors. Friend, another way that this proverb applies to our church is that we ought to have a plural eldership at this church. Baptist tradition is the pastor and the deacons. One pastor and several deacons. Friend, that is not biblical. And as far as that goes, we're not a biblical church. We need a multitude of pastors, a multitude of elders. The way the New Testament uses the word pastor, it's interchangeable with elder, pastor, overseer, bishop. And over again, the testimony of the New Testament is it ought to be a plurality. And I want to tell you, I need it. I need them. I need help. And praise God, He's given me help in elder qualified men who are already serving as deacons. But we need to make the transition as a church and change our bylaws to be biblical and have a plurality of elders. And I'm going to give you a plethora of scriptures on this. So write them down. If you wonder if this is biblical, just write these down. Study them in context. Study them on your own. But the reason God has ordained that we have a multitude of elders is because there's safety in a multitude of counselors. That's one reason. There's many others. But we should have plural elder leadership at Olney Baptist Church. And for those of you who are members, we're going to speak more about this at our October 1st members meeting. We have an October 1st members meeting, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. And we're going to talk about this. But Acts 14:23. And when they had appointed elders, plural, in every church, singular. Elders, plural, church, singular. Acts 14:23. Acts 20:17. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders, plural, of the church, singular, to come to him. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers, plural, and deacons, plural. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders, plural, who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially of those who labor in preaching and teaching. James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders, plural, of the church, singular, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And yes, we do this at Olney Baptist Church. My brother elder from another church, Nick Batson, came with me and we anointed Sister McKelton's head with oil and prayed over her. Did it help? Amen. Yes. If you're sick and you would like us to come and pray over you, let us know. But notice, elders plural, church singular. 1 Peter 5:1, so I exhorted the elders among you. Plural elders. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. We ask you, brothers, plural, to respect those, plural pronoun, who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them, plural pronoun, very highly in love because of their, plural pronoun, work. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, plural, those who spoke to you the word of God. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders, plural, and submit to them, plural, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to them. Pastors love to preach on these texts. But you see the plurality of elders that the New Testament calls for. And so we as a church need to move in this biblical direction. And one of the jobs of the elders is to guard the greatest guidance that anyone could ever receive. What is the greatest guidance that anyone could ever receive? The gospel of Jesus. Amen. Amen. That is the greatest guidance that you could ever receive. And friend, none of this sermon will make any sense unless you get that guidance. Unless you get that guidance. And that's what Paul told Timothy to guard as an elder in 2 Timothy 1, 8-14. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. That's my most important job. Guard the good deposit of the gospel as a pastor elder. We're called to do that. Do you know that gospel? Do you know that gospel? Psalm 107 speaks of those who have turned away from God's counsel. Have you turned away from God's counsel today? In your life, have you turned away from the counsel of the Lord God? In numerous ways you could turn away from God's counsel. By the way you're living your life right now. By the way that you're committing sexual immorality right now. By the way that you're addicted to pornography and not telling anybody about it right now. By the way that you're using men and women just to get your own desires met. By the way that you're using alcohol or drugs. By the way that you're lying and cheating and stealing. But by the way that you're not honoring God with your life. Have you spurned God's counsel? Psalm 107, 10 through 11 says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Have you done that today? Are you here, friend, as one who has spurned the counsel of the Most High? There's good news in Psalm 107. Because God comes and acts. He comes and acts on behalf of those who have spurned His counsel. Psalm 107, 12 through 15. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Maybe God has brought you to a place where you are brought down, brought low, hard times in your life, and it seems like there is none to help. And when they got to that point, what did they do? They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. They cried to the Lord, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. And how does God do this? How does He bring us out of darkness? How does He bring us out of the bondage to sin and death and hell? Friend, we started with it in the call to worship. Jesus has that sweet name, the Wonderful Counselor. The Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus is the greatest counselor. He's the counselor of all counselors. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's the same word as the word for counsel in our own text. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 11, 1 through 2 speaks about the Messiah, Jesus, and says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from the root shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And so Jesus comes, and He humbles Himself. He takes on human flesh. He allows Himself to be counseled and learn wisdom from Joseph and Mary. And He lives a perfectly obedient life, always seeking the counsel of His Father and the Spirit, living filled with the Spirit. And He dies. He dies on that cross. He suffers the wrath of the eternal God. He crushed Him. He crushed Him. The Father crushed the Wonderful Counselor and then raised Him up on the third day. He's risen. And all who repent and believe in Him shall be saved. Have you believed this counsel? Have you believed this guidance? Friend, I hope that you don't think here, Sunday after Sunday, that it's just helpful for you to hear this guidance and not believe it. Because God's Word makes it clear that if you just hear this guidance over and over again and you don't believe it, that judgment for you will be worse than if you'd never heard the gospel. And so, friend, if you're here this morning and it's your intention, oh, church does good things for me and I like to hear it, it just makes me feel better, but I'm not going to believe it and submit my whole life to Christ. Friend, you ought to flee from here. You ought to flee from here in fear and trembling. Because the more you come here and you hear the gospel repeated over and over and over again, preachers warning you to believe in Christ, to turn from the wrath to come, to trust in Him with all your heart and mind and soul. The more you hear this guidance, this good news, and you do not believe and submit your whole life to this gospel, hell will be hotter for you. Hell will be hotter for you than if you've never heard the gospel. And so I urge you, You must believe this guidance. You must take this guidance. You must believe in Christ. You must take Him as your Savior. Take Him as your all in all. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe it. Don't just hear it over and over and over again. You are storing up more wrath for yourself on the day of judgment if you just hear over and over and over again and don't believe. But we have a great Savior who saves from a great hell. Jesus is the great God. He guides you out of hell and will guide you into heaven. He guides you into His family. He guides you to His Spirit. He guides you to His Father. He guides you out of the condemnation of sin and death and hell. He guides you out of the power of sin so that you can say no to sin and live toward holiness. He guides you out of every addiction and affliction and idolatry. He guides you into peace with others in your relationships. He guides you into glory. And friend, He will guide you into the presence of God where there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So come to Him. Believe in Him. Jesus Christ is the greatest God. From His face you cannot hide. He'll find and crush your sinful pride. But you won't fall close by His side. The wonderful Counselor bled and died, then rose up from the grave to true victory to provide and grant all safety to His bride. So trust in Him. In Him confide. He'll be your joy and faithful guide. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. Let's go to Him now and seek His face and ask Him to be our Counselor. Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for Your wisdom, Your knowledge, Your counseling. We thank You, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, how You lead us into all truth. Father, we pray that You would be our Counselor. We pray that You would be our guide. Lord, that You would lead us. Father, lead us into a deeper understanding of Your Word. Lord, that we might know Your heart. Oh, Lord, if we want to know Your heart, read Your Word. Lord, help us to read Your Word. Help us to be a people of the book. Help us to know Your Word, memorize Your Word, meditate on Your Word, sing Your Word, delight in Your Word. Father, help us to be a people who seek Your face in prayer, who go hard after You, begging You for help, for guidance, for wisdom. Lord, help us to be a people of prayer. Prayer individually, prayer at the noon prayer meeting, prayer on Monday night at 7. Father, make us a people of prayer. And God, make us a people, Lord, who have deep relationships with other godly Christians with whom we can talk to and get counsel from and counsel one another. And so God, build a culture of counseling at this church, a culture of discipleship at this church, and help us love one another and counsel one another well. Lord, help us obey this passage. Help us to find safety in a multitude of godly counselors. Instruct us, O Lord, and teach us in the way that we should go. Counsel us with Your eye upon us, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.